I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. It is always a blessing to be in the Lord's house, meeting in the name of Jesus. It is my prayer that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, will be with us today. Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. And I trust that we have come here being encouraged through this week. First of all, and most important, is that we will have been renewed in the Spirit through God's promises, through His Word, but also the beautiful rain that our Heavenly Father so graciously showered upon us. Such an encouragement. It reminds me of Psalms 100, where we are called on to worship Him. And Psalms 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures." And He tells us to enter into the gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, and be ye thankful unto Him. Bless His holy name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So encouraging to see a beautiful rain, and I trust that we have been encouraged by God's showering us with His amazing grace and showing favor to us. As you have heard in the bulletin, it is communion next Sunday, and today is communion prep, and I feel led by the Holy Spirit to look into 1 Corinthians 11, and where Paul, he sets the record straight of communion. The Corinthian church had fallen away from taking communion properly or God's way, and he sets the record straight. And communion is a very, very important part of the New Testament of born-again believers. It deals with the Lord's table, and it reminds us of Jesus' death, His shed blood, and His body that He gave for our sins, and that He rose again, ascended, and He's coming back. Before I read 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 17, I would just like to open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence this morning. I pray, Lord, that You will be with Your servant. Lord, I pray that You will speak to him. Lord, I've been on my knees pleading. That You will give me words, like You told Moses You would give him the words. I pray Your blessing, Your revelation upon Your word. As we read it, may it speak to us, speak through Your servant. I pray that Your word will bring forth fruit and bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, communion is a very vital part of a Christian's experience. We need to understand the Lord's Supper correctly in order for us to participate in a meaningful way. And we know that on the night before Jesus' death, Jesus, He gathered together His disciples in the upper room for the Passover meal. This was before His death. In the Old Testament, the Jews met at a particular time to eat the Passover. It was a special meal designed by God to commemorate the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Israel had been in bondage over 400 years, and then God delivered them and brought them to a land of Canaan, the promised land. And so we are looking forward to that future promise, heaven. And then God delivered them, and He promised them the land, and He freed them from Pharaoh's grip, we might say. When the plagues came in Egypt, which was the killing, the last plague was the killing of the firstborn, throughout the entire land of Egypt. And the only way they could protect themselves from the death angel would be to take the firstborn. The death angel would take the firstborn in every house. It was to protect themselves, they were to kill a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and the lintel, or the header, we might say, and eat the lamb along with the unleavened bread. And leaven refers to a sin in Scripture. And as they ate the meal and made a sacrifice to God and put the blood on the doorpost, the angel would then pass over when the angel would see the blood on the doorpost. That was the key to their deliverance. Egypt, Israel from Egypt, or from bondage, we might say. And so Jesus has delivered us from our life of sin and bondage. And God was remembered in the Old Testament as a deliverer and a savior. In the New Testament, before Jesus' death, while the disciples were eating the Passover meal, they were preparing for this Passover meal, remembering God's redemption of Israel, Jesus took the meal and he transformed it into a new meal, the communion, the Lord's table. And I'd like to read Luke 22, verse 14 to 20. Luke 22, verse 14. It says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down with his 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be filled in the kingdom of God." In other words, this is the last time until when we do it in heaven. "And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we need to celebrate the Lord's table, and we need to do it in remembrance of him. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you. So here we see that Jesus, he transformed the Passover meal the Jews had celebrated, and he transformed it into the Lord's Supper, that we are no more remembering the types or the lambs as an offering, but Jesus as an offering for our sacrifice. So with that, I would like to read 1 Corinthians 11, starting from verse 17, and we know that in the early church, in Acts, which we will read, that they met, and they had all things in common. They had fellowship together and the breaking of bread. And here, as the church progressed, the church at Corinth had fallen away and had taken the Lord's Supper in a way that was not pleasing to God. And I believe that is so important for us to remind us that we take the Lord's Supper in a proper way, the way God has designed it. So let's see what God's word has to say in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. "Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, or different groups among you, cliques, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before the other his own supper. And one is hungry, and the other is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, going back to the gospel before he went to the cross. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance for me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes. It is for a purpose. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto the condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come to you. He wrote this letter, and he shared with them that he had many more things to share with them, but he wanted to set the communion table straight. We see here in this portion of Scripture a selfishness at the communion table. And we're supposed to be one caring for one another. We are the body of Christ. And since the early church began, it was customary for believers to eat together. And I want to share that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. Where we see the early church, when the early church was formed, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord, and this is for us to remember, with one accord in the temple, and in the breaking of bread, from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It is an opportunity for fellowship and for sharing with those who are less privileged. That is what we as believers are to do. And this also included the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. They met in the temple and some in houses. In verse 42, they had fellowship. That means more than being together. It means having in common. They were sharing with those that had need. And we see that even again surfacing in 1 Corinthians 11. The rich were bringing food for themselves and the others could go hungry. It was voluntarily. In the early church, it was motivated by the love, by the spirit of love. We read in Acts where they got together and they collected when there was a drought to come. They collected and sent needs as the Holy Spirit led them. In verse 42, it says, they can, 46 of Acts chapter 2, it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in the breaking of bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. All because they did this because of the risen Christ was a living reality to them. Christ was in their heart. Communion is to be in remembrance of Jesus. We don't come there to remember our sins. We are called to judge ourselves before we come to communion. In the Corinthian church, serious abuses and sin had crept in. And as a result, Paul had to tell them what it was to look like. He had to tell them what communion was to look like. Paul saw there was groups of people that would eat with certain people only, instead of fellowship with the whole church family. Selfishness. The rich brought food for themselves, while the poor went hungry. This love feast was to share with others, and they had lost it. We go back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 to 22. Paul doesn't praise them for how they are celebrating the communion. In verse 18, it says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there is divisions among you. Brothers and sisters, are we as a church united? Is there somebody in the church that we are at odds with? I hear that there's divisions among you. And he's setting this record straight, and he says, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies, or we could say different groups or sects among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For it is eating every one taketh before the other his own supper. Can't wait for one another. And you will see next Sunday, we wait for one another. We do this together. One is hungry, and another is drunken. The poor and the rich, there's a division. The division was very evident in the church. And it means that there's a deeper problem in the church, that the people are not spiritual. Christ does not reign in the hearts and the lives of people. Spiritually, they thought they had advanced, but in reality, they were little children. Paul wanted them to restore the love feast to a proper meaning. He says, don't you have houses to eat and drink? Let the rich eat at home if they are hungry. Don't abuse believers who are less fortunate than you are. You are in reality, according to verse 22, despising the church. When I think of that, I read of an example of a story how a Sunday school picnic. They were playing a game. It involved eggs, throwing it at each other and moving farther apart and keep throwing it at each other. But there were a few children that were watching those eggs very clearly. They came from a poor home, and they rarely had eggs because they couldn't afford it. And the little girl went to the lady leading the game and asked if there was any eggs left at the end of the game. Can me and my brother have them? Very wisely, through the Holy Spirit, this Sunday school teacher, she stopped the game even before it was over, She awarded the prizes and gave the eggs to the little children. She knew at that point it was wrong for some of the believers to have a good time at the expense of others. And that's what Paul is trying to set straight here. We are not to be a stumbling block one to another. Let's be sensitive to those beside us and around us. Romans 14, verse 13. It says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Let's not, we are told in Scripture, we're not to be a stumbling block to our brother or sister in the church. Like Paul was addressing the Corinthians here, "For in eating everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken," and it's not the way it ought to be. They had serious problems at the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's important that we are to examine ourselves. We as a church, and even as individuals, that we come and take the communion table worthy. That is not the way to remember the Savior who died for sinners. Evangelical churches have recognized, or we are called, to keep two ordinances. One is baptism, the other is the Lord's Supper. It's called a communion. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, it says, "This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" When we give thanks for the fruit of the vine at the Lord's Supper, are we not sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread which we eat at the Lord's Supper, are we not sharing in the body of Christ? It is a serious thing to come to communion with an unprepared heart, or to take it in a careless way. We are to remember the blood represents his, or the wine represents his shed blood, and the body, his broken body, the bread represents his body, what he has done for us. The Corinthians had been sinning in their observing the Lord's Supper. If you read in verse 30 of chapter 11, it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." It was God's judgment because they were taking the Lord's Supper wrong. So how do we take the Lord's Supper? How do we prepare? I believe we should look back according to Scripture. Verse 23 to 26. We look back, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance for me. And after this same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament, or the new covenant, in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes." The broken bread reminds us of Christ's body that was given for us, for you and for me. And the cup reminds us of his shed blood. It is Jesus' desire that his followers remember his death. And I want to remind you as parents, brothers and sisters in the Lord, I believe it is very important that we, Jesus, God, through the Holy Spirit and his word, saw it necessary that we are to remember. We are to pass this on. If we do not pass it on, or remember what Jesus did. We do not celebrate this. It would only take one generation for the people to forget. And how we see the carelessness around us, casual of really what Jesus has done, and we should be in awe and fear of God of what he has done for us. It is Jesus' desire that they will remember his death, how he died, the cross, that ugly cross that he died on and shed his blood, and why he died. He died for our sins, because everything that we as Christians have centers in his death and his resurrection. Jesus died and he was buried, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. And the reason is because of your sins and my sins. He took your place where you should have died. He said, I will do it for you. I will pay the price, because he was the sinless Lamb of God. He was our substitute. I want to read Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And John tells us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his love is not in us. And so here it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. When I think of this passage here, and I think of sheep, I've heard a few stories here and there about sheep. I often wondered why Scripture referred to us, you and I, as sheep. But sheep need a shepherd. They are dumb. And we have gone astray, and we will not find our way back to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. All our ugly sin and unrighteousness he has laid on Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jesus wants us to remember, and he instituted this with his disciples before he died. We wish we should remember how he died. Willingly, meekly, showing his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At communion, we have fellowship with a living Savior. It is not to remember only as a historical site or a historical fact. It is to be remembered for us in a new and a living way every time that Jesus, what he did for us. So as we look back what Jesus has done, that's one way of preparing. We should also look ahead. According to verse 26, it says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes again. Every time we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again, we're looking forward to him coming. For the Christ's return is a blessed hope for the church, that someday he will rapture the church. We will see him face to face. In Acts 1, I want to read Acts 1. Tells us how he is going to come again. Verse 11, I'll read verse 10. It says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, Jesus ascended into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He is coming again. In Thessalonians, it tells us that he will come and he will take the church unto himself. And so we will ever be with the Lord, and we are to comfort one another with these things. We are to remember those things. It's what Jesus did for us, and that's what he's going to do. We need to look forward. And thirdly, we should look within. We should look within, according to verse 27 and 28. We read, go back to Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 and 28. It says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself. And that is your responsibility today as you go home through the week, to examine yourself, not to examine everyone else, but let examine ourselves, and so let him eat. We are to examine ourselves. We are to make things right. We are to be in good fellowship with one another. We need to confess our sins where we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we are to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And let's remember, in the Corinthian church, it was so bad. And he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many have died because they were not living and celebrating the Lord's Supper as they ought to. And verse 31, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, meaning examine yourselves, we should not be judged. We need to judge our sin in our life. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We should look within. The Corinthian church neglected to examine themselves. They examined others. When we get together, we should not be looking at others and fail to look at our own sin. If we eat and drink in an unworthy manner, we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. And that is not to be taken lightly. Chastening tells us that God loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he loveth. Chastening tells us that God loves us, and it perfects God's will in us. Then we should also look around. According to verse 33, it says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. We should look around in order to we should not look around in order to criticize others' believers, but in order to discern the Lord's body, according to verse 29. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We are part of the body of Christ. We should discern or see the body of Christ in the bread, but also in the church around us, for the church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17 says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. We are one in Christ, and we need to live our life that way. The Lord's Supper should be a demonstration of unity in the church. So, brothers and sisters, if there is something between you and someone else, take this time in the next week, or even before the sun goes down, Scripture tells us not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. Or if we bring something to the altar of God and we remember that someone has something against us, we need to leave our gift there and we need to go make things right. Do it quickly. Don't wait. And don't stay away. We are invited. Communion is for those who recognize that they are sinners and have asked for forgiveness. We are invited to come. The Lord's Supper should be a demonstration of unity in the church, and there was not much unity in the Corinthian church. And Paul is not praising them for that. It was a demonstration. They were actually revealing their disunity. The Lord wants his family, his children, motivated by love, one for another. Are we motivated by love, one for another? How can we remember the Lord's death and not love one another? According to Scripture, we must love one another if we want to remember it in the right manner. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and his Spirit is love." And we know, in verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God." What a blessing. No unbeliever should be at the Lord's table. We are all invited. Those who have been baptized into the body of Christ, have made a confession of faith. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their hearts are right with God and with fellow man or fellow Christians, they are invited to come. And that is why we take time to prepare, spiritually prepare, before we observe the Lord's Supper. Lest any would participate, bringing chastisement on themselves. If sin is confessed, forgiveness is sought, then we can come to the Lord's table, and we ought to come thankfully, with thankfulness and anticipation of seeing the Lord Jesus. Jesus gave thanks, even though he was about to suffer. I want to read Psalms 139. I believe it is a psalm that we can use in our life throughout this week. And as we prepare, Psalm 139 in verse 1, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." The Lord knows everything about you. "Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." When we think we can hide, God knows everything. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me," or it's hard to understand. "It is high, I can not attain unto it." Then if we go to verse 12, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That verse tells us that our Heavenly Father knows you. And even from before you were born in your mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right. My substance was not hid from thee. You knew me when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book of all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. And then in verse 23 and 24, the psalmist, he prays and he tells God and he says, search me. And I want to challenge you today that through the week you will ask God to search you. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a beautiful prayer that have God search your heart to see if there's any wicked way in you. Because if there is, we have Jesus Christ, whom we will celebrate what he did for us. And then through Jesus and his Holy Spirit that he sent down, he will lead us in the way everlasting. Jesus prayed for you and for me in the high priestly prayer in John 17. And he prayed an amazing prayer, and that is our prayer for us as we meet for communion. In John 17, verse 21, it says, this is Jesus' prayer, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art one in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. We are to be so united in one that the world will be able to see that God has sent his Son Jesus. In verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that thou mayest be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That was Jesus' prayer, that our love, the love that Jesus, or God the Father, had for Jesus and for each other, that would be our love for each other as we are in the body of Christ. And so we know that when the Israelites celebrated the Passover, which we are going to be celebrating the Lord's table next Sunday, and you are all invited to come, and I want to encourage you, go on your knees, prepare your heart, confess your sins. And Scripture tells us if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we think of, in Corinthians, when we think of he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, that means in that portion of Scripture that they did it in a wrong way. We can never come worthy in our own self. We come to remember what Jesus did, that he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him, as we read in Corinthians. Then, when we celebrate that way, I believe we will be celebrating and singing like we read in Psalms 113. This was the song when the Israelites celebrated. God had brought them out of Egypt, how they sprinkled the blood on the lamb of the lamb on the doorpost and the header, and the death angel passed over them, brought them into a land of Canaan. And they celebrated, they sang the hymn 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed is be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above all heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princesses, even the princes of his people. He maketh a barren woman to keep the house and to be joyful, a joyful mother of the children. O praise ye the Lord. I want to invite you to come to the Lord's table next Sunday. Be faithful to the God. We are to celebrate. You have been baptized. You made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Prepare yourself through this week that you can come worthy by his blood and by his grace and mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. Lord, we pray. As Paul prayed that he would know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Lord, I pray that as we are preparing ourselves to have communion, where we receive the rich blessings of love, of remembrance of what Jesus did for us and why he died, that we could be redeemed, that we do not have to have eternal condemnation, but that we can have life abundantly in this life and the life hereafter. Lord, I pray that you will prepare each one's heart as they look and examine themselves. Lord, I pray that this will not just become something we do twice a year, but that it will be remembered that we are serving Jesus, the one who died, rose, and ascended, a living God, and that someday we will see him face to face. We will see the nail scars on his hands, his feet, and his side, and we will worship him day and night. And that place that you talk about is so beautiful, Lord. Tells us that eye has not seen or ear heard, but you do give us a little insight of what it will be like. There will be no more tears or pain or sorrow or dying. There will be no need of light because your glory will be in there, in that city. Lord, I pray as we look forward to that time, next Sunday, we look back, we look within our own life, we look back what Jesus did, we look in with our own life, and we look forward. I pray, Lord, that you will cause us to receive the blessing of grace and mercy new. And that will cause us to realize that this world has nothing in comparison to offer. That all these things that the world offers, we will recognize that they will fade away and they will not be so important. Lord, may we pay attention, examine ourselves to the things that matter. Lord, we thank you for each one that has come here today. Lord, we know that the father of this world, he's a thief. He's a kill. He came to kill and to destroy and to torment even believers. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll put a hedge of protection around your people throughout the week, that the Holy Spirit will go with them, that they may be able to fight against what we fight against every day. Rulers and wickedness in high places. Lord, I just pray that we will be able to stand against, that we will take a stand, that we will put on the whole armor of God, that we will be prepared to come to celebrate in humility the death, the resurrection, and the life that Jesus came to give. I pray, Lord, that you will give us the grace and mercy to carry those burdens that you asked us to carry. There's those in the pew that have burdens to carry in different ways. I pray that you will be with them. I thank you for Corny and Helen Peters that have been able to come. I see them here today. I pray a special blessing upon them, Lord, healing. They've had their health struggles and trials, and so there's many others. Lord, we commit each one into your care. Remind us through your Spirit to pray for those that need prayer, to encourage those that need encouragement, to cheer on our young people, Lord. They are such a vital part in our church. We thank you for each young person that's sitting in the pews here today. We pray a special prayer for them. The world has so much to offer. And we know that that time of life seems to be when Satan tries to destroy them. But I pray, Lord, that they will stay strong in the Lord, and that we as a church can come alongside and cheer them on and be a support to them. I pray your blessing as we are part of the body of Christ. May you do your work as we have looked at the Corinthian church, that we will do it, celebrate the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Trust that each one of us can say that from the heart, sing it from the heart, that great is thy faithfulness unto me. You know, the Lord is faithful, and no matter what situation we're in, let's just live by faith that God knows each one of us, like he tells us in his word, and he cares for us. And when we think of this week, let's think of the words that we find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus himself says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is an invitation to come. Come to Jesus. Come to the Lord's table and participate and receive his blessing. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank all those that participated in the morning service. It was a real blessing to have you here. Whichever way you participated, may God richly bless you for it, and may you be a blessing to others. So let's bow for the benediction. "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." You may depart in the peace of the Lord.